Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
With the recent advances in technology, weather forecasters now have more precise instruments so that they are better equipped to give more accurate warnings of the possibility of damaging or even of dangerous weather conditions. And as we listen to those reports of what the atmospheric conditions may be like today or tomorrow or even next week, we plan our activities. We may even plan our lives around those reports. But if that report is not accurate, well, then obviously we will draw some inaccurate conclusions because we have been given inaccurate information. And so it may set us on a course of action which will have unpleasant or perhaps even disastrous consequences for us. It's obvious. Accurate information is critical, isn't it? It is essential if we are to arrive at the right conclusion. Information that we must take to heart and information that we must act upon. And in the passage of Scripture that is before us today, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 12, we see two distinct groups of people. Two groups of people who drew conclusions about Jesus, about his teaching, about his words, about his life. Conclusions that were not accurate. Though they had the right information about him, they just came up with the wrong answers. And these two groups of people incorrectly understood his words. They incorrectly understood the meaning of his words, the importance of his words. And if those conclusions were not corrected, it would lead to disaster for them. Disaster with eternal consequences. And so, in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 16, we find that Jesus and his 12 disciples have left the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. They departed from the region of Decapolis, where Jesus had been ministering to large groups of pagan Gentiles, healing them, feeding them, teaching them the word of the God of Israel, giving them the truth of the Scriptures, the truth concerning himself. And when that time of ministry had reached its conclusion, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat and they sailed west across the sea and they came ashore on the northwestern region in the province of Galilee, perhaps not too far from the city of Capernaum. But unlike the Gentiles in Decapolis, who welcomed Jesus, we're told that they praised God for him. There was no welcoming committee waiting for him when he came ashore in Capernaum. Instead, we are told, who was there? The Pharisees and the Sadducees were there waiting for him. And they came up to him to confront him. Now, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, were leaders in the nation of Israel, many of whom had come from Jerusalem to confront Jesus. But, you know, they disliked each other very much. They differed in their religious opinions from each other. And isn't it amazing? They came together as one group in order to oppose Jesus. They hated him more than they disliked each other. And their motives for coming to Jesus weren't sincere, were they? It was their desire to discredit him. As it says in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 16, they were testing him. Perazo in Greek. They were setting him up. They were baiting him so that they could find a way to destroy him. And in Mark 8, verse 11, it says that they began to argue with him. Suzeteo in Greek. They began to dispute with him. They began to question him in their hatred of him, in their unbelief. They had no real desire to know the truth. It says in Ephesians 4:18, they were like those who were darkened in their understanding. They were cut off from the light of the truth. They didn't have the ability to see things clearly, to see things correctly. They had no spiritual insight. Why? Because they were without the light of Christ. And like many people today, they did not want that light. In fact, they rejected the light. Romans 1:21 puts it this way. Their foolish heart was darkened as they were sinking deeper and deeper in their rejection of Jesus Christ. In their pride, they were professing to be wise, claiming to have spiritual insight, just like many people do, but in their lack of understanding, they had become fools, not knowing truth from error. The place that many people find themselves in today, though they may not even know it. And so, these leaders were willfully unbelieving. Despite the evidence that was standing right before them, the God of the universe was standing there. Yet, these Pharisees and these Sadducees, we are told, asked Jesus a question, eperotao in Greek. They interrogated him. They demanded that he show them a demonstration of his power, a sign from heaven, semeion, a miracle from above, something in the sky to prove that it was God who was doing that miracle, something from God. What was Jesus' reaction to this? Mark 8:12, we're told that in hearing this, he sighed deeply within himself, within his spirit, anasthenazo in Greek. He groaned within himself. He was moved with grief, moved with pain because of their willful unbelief. It broke his heart, just like it breaks his heart today, those who do not believe. And so Jesus answered them. He answered their demand with an indictment. And he said to them in verse 2, consider this. When it is evening, when it's late in the day, and you're planning to sail onto the sea the following day, you say correctly it will be fair weather. Yodia in Greek. The winds will be calm. The sun will be shining. For as the sun is setting that night, you see that the sky is red. And from your experience, you know that tomorrow will be a good day on the water. But in rising up early in the next morning, by your experience, you also know if there will be a dangerous storm at sea. Haimon in Greek, bad weather, with wind, with a driving rain. For you say correctly, today the sky is red and it is threatening, stugnadzo. It is overcast with dark, thick clouds. You know there will be a storm at sea. And then Jesus asks them the question in verse 3. Do you know how to discern, how to accurately assess the appearance, prosopon, the face of the sky? And yet, you cannot discern the signs of the times. You have no sense of history in light of the Word of God, in light of biblical prophecy. You are better weather forecasters than you are Bible scholars. You don't understand how God is working to fulfill His word right before your eyes. Does that sound familiar? Isn't that a picture of the way that it is today? Today we have great knowledge of a great many things. We have expertise in a wide variety of subjects. Technology is advancing so rapidly that it is difficult to keep up with it, isn't it? We can analyze the direction of the worldwide economy. We can see the trends in politics and in society. We know all about nature and natural phenomena, yet we lack any real understanding of the things of God, how His plan is unfolding right before our eyes, even today. We don't understand the gravity of the situation that has come upon us, despite what many people believe. We are approaching the end of the age, the time when Jesus Christ will return and the opportunity to be saved will be lost forever. Yet, what is it that we see all around us? We are mesmerized. We're hypnotized by things, by the things around us, by things that will be burned up forever. And many of us are like those religious leaders. We live in unbelief. Oh, perhaps we're looking for a sign when the truth is right before our eyes in the Word of God. And so Jesus said in verse 4, an evil, poneros, a wicked, a spiritually diseased people, and an adulterous generation, moikales, a faithless generation, seeks, epizeteo, demands, and runs after a sign. And a sign will not be given to this generation, Jesus says, except for the sign of Jonah the prophet, who in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish. And yet at the end of that time, he emerged and he was alive. It was a miracle, wasn't it? In the same way, Jesus would spend 3 days in the grave and then he would emerge alive. That was a miracle, unlike any miracle that has ever taken place. His resurrection from the dead is the sign of his victory over sin. It is a sign of his victory over Satan. Yet, many people still do not believe. Well, after saying these things, what did Jesus do? In verse 4, it says that Jesus left them. Katalepo in Greek. He left them behind. But it's a stronger word than that. In fact, it's a fearful word. He abandoned them in their unbelief. He separated himself from them. And he went away, heading back once again in a boat to the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, where he had just come from. No matter what those religious leaders saw, and they saw a lot of miracles of Jesus, no matter what they heard, no matter what they heard him speak, words that no one had ever spoken that way before, still, they would not believe. They would not believe that Jesus was their Savior the way many people do not believe today. And so, as it says in John 8:24, they would die in their sins and be lost forever. But remember, we said that there were two groups of people who drew the wrong conclusions about Jesus, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees had become one group. So who is this second group? Who is this second group who incorrectly understood his words? As you might guess, that second group were his 12 disciples. And they were there in that boat with Jesus. And as they were coming to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, in their haste to get away from that confrontation with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, we're told they had forgotten epilanthanomai. They had neglected to take any bread with them. And it says in Mark 8:14, they only had one loaf of bread with them. One loaf for all of them. And now, in the isolated area to which they were going, Gentile territory, there would be perhaps no place for them to buy any bread. And this was a concern to them. And so Jesus used that situation to teach them a spiritual truth, a truth that they should have known by now, but sometimes we're all slow to learn spiritual truths, aren't we? And so he said to them, verse 6, watch out. Horao in Greek. Open your eyes. Open your spiritual eyes. And beware. Proseko. Be attentive. Show some discernment. Stay alert. And watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Zume in Greek, like yeast. Yeast that was put into dough to cause that dough to rise to make bread. Well, in not understanding what Jesus was talking about, in verse 7, it says they began to discuss this among themselves, dialogizomai. They expressed a wide variety of opinions to each other, considering the words of Jesus and what those words might mean. Not unlike what we do sometimes today. And they were saying, it is because we took no loaves of bread to eat. Well, what else could it be? The disciples were confused, weren't they? As we sometimes get confused. And Jesus, aware of their discussion, said to them in verse 8, "You are men of little faith, ole gopistos. You trust too little. You have no spiritual insight, no spiritual focus. Why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Why is that your concern? With a word," he said, "I could create bread if that was necessary. Do you not understand? No, have you not considered the reality of what you have seen after you have been with me for so long? Do you not remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? And how many baskets you took up?" "There were 12 baskets in all that were left." "And don't you remember the 7 loaves of the 4,000? And how many baskets, large baskets, you took up?" "There were 7 large baskets full from a few loaves of bread. Jesus fed thousands and thousands of people." And so he says to them, "How is it then that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning loaves of bread, but I spoke to you of influence, to beware of the leaven, of the influence of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Their evil influence is like leaven. They can affect your lives in a negative way." It's a warning, isn't it? Isn't that a warning to all of us? Because all false teachers are like leaven, contaminating our minds, influencing us to go in the wrong direction. And in Luke 12:1, we are told that Jesus says that leaven is hypocrisy, hypokrisis in Greek. Those who are play acting, those who are playing games in their religion, those who are trying to deceive us by their words and by their lives. So we need discernment, don't we? We need the truth of the Word of God. And then it says in verse 12, the disciples finally understood. Sune emi. They had insight. They understood, they got it, that Jesus didn't say to beware of the leaven of bread. No. No, he was saying, beware of the teaching, didache in Greek, of the doctrine, of the instruction of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which was rooted in their hypocrisy. They got it. It would have been better if those religious leaders had stuck to the weather report. At least they would have gotten it right. But as it was, their hearts were wicked. And so, in their wicked teaching, they influenced the people. They influenced their hearts and their minds, and so the destiny of those people. And sadly, many people today, great crowds of people, flock to hear those same kind of lies, even in the church. But like the disciples, if we hunger for the truth, despite our misunderstanding, despite our weakness, Jesus will find a way to feed us. He will find a way to feed our mind and our heart He will give us light. He will sow light into us with the truth of the Word of God. Sow it into our hearts forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.